Servus, liebe Freunde von Hartgecheckt. Hier ist Thomas Neumeier von der UVB Sportredaktion. Diejenigen, die Eishockey spielen, die wissen es. Man kann sich so gut vorbereiten und manchmal klappt es dann doch nicht so, wie man meint. Man tapet den Schläger, man kriegt vielleicht einen neuen Schläger und dann bricht er doch beim ersten Versuch. Und genau das ist uns jetzt auch ein bisschen passiert. Wir sind vor den schönen, tollen Mikros gesessen und dann hat alles nicht so ganz gut hingehauen, wie wir gemeint haben. Aber wir haben trotzdem eine wunderbare Folge mit Jordan Taubert aufgenommen und die wollen wir euch nicht vorenthalten. Bitte entschuldigt's, wenn irgendwie ein bisschen was nicht so ganz hingehauen hat mit den Mikros. Wir haben es ein bisschen geschnitten. Manchmal jetzt ist es ein bisschen künstlich hoch, war aber nicht so. Jordan Taubert, unwahrscheinlich lustiger, netter Bursch. Ja, war ein tolles Gespräch und wie gesagt, wir wollen es euch nicht vorenthalten. Bitte entschuldigt, wenn manches leider nicht so ist, wie in gewohnter Form. Und deswegen trotzdem viel Spaß mit der Folge Hartgecheckt 96 mit Jordan Taubert.
Hartgecheckt wird euch präsentiert von Prechtl. Regional einkaufen und genießen. Deine Supermärkte in der Region Rosenheim.
Hartgecheckt, der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus und herzlich willkommen zu Hartgecheckt, dem Podcast der OVB Sportredaktion zu den Star Wars Rosenheim in der DEL2. Wir haben die 96. Folge aufgezeichnet am Dienstag, 3. März. Mein Name ist Thomas Neumeier. An meiner Seite mein Redakteurskollege Marco Alexic. Servus, Marco.
Hi, servus.
Die Star Wars haben sich das Heimrecht im Playoff-Viertelfinale gesichert. Zuletzt gab es einen Heimsieg über Bad Nauheim und einen Punkt in Kassel, natürlich nach einem 2:2 nach 60 Minuten. Das sind wir ja schon gewohnt. Wir haben von draußen zugeschaut, einer leider auch. Für uns ist das normal, für ihn eher nicht. Und deshalb interessiert uns es auch, wie er das alles erlebt hat. Und herzlich willkommen, very warm welcome to be our guest, Jordan Taubert. Jordan, here at our place, every guest is welcome to introduce themselves briefly.
Yeah, so I'm Jordan Taubert. I'm 63 for Star Bulls here. Forward, I'm from Canada, Alberta, born in a small little city. It's called Medicine Hat. And then I moved about 5 hours away to Edmonton, Alberta. So that's where I'm stationed now. So yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Werbung! Servus Marco, jetzt wird's bald richtig heiß auf dem Eis. Die Playoffs sind nicht mehr weit, da müssen wir nochmal richtig Kraft sammeln für die harten Checks an der Bande. Den besten Energieboost gibt's der Woche wieder an der Fleischtheke in alle Brechtelmärkte. Rosenheimer Weidefleisch ist zurück.
Ganz genau, 100% aus dem eigenen Landkreis, Weidehaltung und stressfreie Schlachtung direkt am Hof mit der mobilen Schlachtbox. Wer das ist, weiß genau, wo es herkommt.
Ab an die Käsetheke. Da lacht dir der regionale Bio-Tilsitter von der Käserei Stadler oder der Bavaria Bluo. Und wer lieber was aus dem Wasser fischt, es gibt topfrischen Winterkabeljau und Lachsforellen.
Da habe ich gleich noch einen Top-Tipp für diesen Freitag, 6. März. Im Prechtelmarkt in Raubling ist wieder die Frischfisch-Aktion. Da fährt Prechtel eine ganz feine Auswahl an mediterranen Fisch- und Meeresdelikatessen auf.
Apropos Top-Aufstellung. Prechtel baut den Kader aus und sucht Menschen und Durchstarter wie die.
Für den nagelneuen Markt in Oberaudorf, der im Juni aufmacht. Oder verstärkt die bestehenden Teams in Raubling, Bad Aibling, Brandenburg und Bad Feilenbach. Alle Infos findet ihr auf prechtel.de/karriere.
Werbung Ende.
Okay. First period, there were the games against Bad Nauheim and at Kassel. Yeah. 4 points for the Star Wars with a win. Yeah. On Friday, the Star Wars secured the third place in the standings. How significant is that achievement for the team heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think any time that you can get a home ice advantage, the start of a playoff series is huge. Obviously, it took a lot of grit and a lot of systematic work this year to accomplish that. And that's what we wanted to do, was get home ice. And we did that. So I think that was huge for our group. Yeah, just playoff-wise, even with the fans being at home the first couple games, like the first game, you know. So it's like, it gives us that extra edge, I feel like, that that we're at home and we feel comfortable for the first game. And then we can see where things go from there.
And in Friday's game, CJ Stretch scored only like 74 seconds into the game, and the Star Bulls have developed kind of a pattern striking early this season. Is that something you emphasize as a team?
Yeah, well, I think we always want to come into the games with a hot start. I think that's one of our biggest mindsets going into games like that is having a really good start. And then once starts like that happen, then you can build off great starts. So as soon as the team kind of gets that first goal, it's a big momentum builder from that, and you can kind of just play your game after those quick goals. I think also it can go two different ways. If you get the first goal, like it can spark your group, and then also if you score too quickly, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, like maybe we have that goal, we have that comfortable lead, maybe we kind of sit back and not maybe play our game or not our systems as well as we want to play them. I mean, now I'm pushed. They played a pretty sound game. We had one on the power play there, which helped us out a lot. And then Luigi's goal as well. That was a nice 2-on-1 goal. So yeah, I mean, now I'm pushed at the very end there to make it not as comfortable as we wanted it to be. But yeah, I mean, 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day. And yeah, it was big for our group to secure the home ice advantage there.
Yeah, the press conference after the game, head coach Javi Paasonen mentioned that you increased the strength training during the week before the playoffs. This may have affected the team's freshness. How do you manage as a player the balance between the training before the playoffs and being like sharp at the game day?
I think it's all a balance, really. Like everyone has to, we've played 50 games now, and everyone has to kind of find their balance in their body and what you can do with your body and how far you can push it or what feels good to you. And I think through 50 games, I think players should find that now. They should understand what they can and can't do. And yeah, so for a lot of it, it's not super heavy lifting now. It's more speed, agility, jumps, intensity, a little bit of that. And a lot of mobility now, because we're playing games every other day, every other 2 days now. So it's going to be a lot on the body. It's going to be taxing. And it's just finding that balance kind of, I think, to have a fresh body and go into games like that to feel like the player you want to be on the ice. So I think that's kind of how we look at it.
At this point of the season, 50 games were played, playoffs before. How much do you win games by your legs and how much by your head?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be smart. I think a lot of it is by your head. A lot of it's mental. You have to know your job. You have to do your job. You have to know the systems, the face-offs, the D-zone, O-zone plays. You know, like, it's a lot too, right? But you also have to have those legs and you have to have that body and you have to have the energy going into the game. And I think it's a lot of both, to be honest with you, so...
Did you have the legs? The head goes faster and...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if your legs are going a million miles per hour, that head better catch up to those legs, because then it could turn into a disaster if it doesn't, so...
Yeah, you mentioned it before, the last seconds in the game against Bad Nauheim, where they were close to the equalizer at the end also. How difficult is it to stay focused in such a high-pressure moment of the game?
You want to go out there as a player and be on the ice and you know how much time is left on the clock. It's a few minutes or less if they're pulling their goalie, right? So it's a high stress situation. Obviously, they have six players out there, but you can only do your job so well because you can't cover all of them, right? So it's a tense situation. But at the same time, we have a bunch of players that are very level-headed and really good with those situations. So I think, they did score one, but after that, I think we did enough to stop them from tying up the game. And yeah, like I said, it was a big win for us. So there was a good job on the guys and Chrissy played awesome and that he saved us.
A win could have brought the Stars near to the second place. At the end, it was 1 point and maybe the second place is now away a little bit. How would you describe the Kassel Huskies as an opponent? Because it's a so special story. 4 games and every game goes into the overtime. Every game goes 2-2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, they were all 3-2, all overtime games. I felt like they were all playoff games. You know, like they play a playoff game. I think so do we too, with how our structure is built around, keep our games pretty close. But yeah, like I said, like they're a great team. We were fortunate enough to get the series over them 3-1 this year. Yeah, they're a tough team. They're going to be a tough team to beat in the playoffs, but we're a great team as well. And I like our chances against them too if we end up meeting them.
once again, Star Bulls started quickly into the game, but then Kassel had more shots on goal. What worked defensively for you in this game?
I think that game we scored a goal there, the first one, and then we kind of play our 3-2 trap a little bit. We kind of let them come to us and we kind of wait for them to make the mistakes, but that also adds them pressuring us a little bit and having a little bit more extra shots than we would like. At the end of the day, like if we play our defensive zone like we want to play, it's going to be tough to score. And you saw that they had 35 shots, the two goals in regulation, and then the one quick one in overtime there. But it's hard to score on us if we play in our system and our defensive system well. So
5 minutes before the end, the Star Wars had the big opportunity to take the lead, but couldn't convert. How crucial are those moments in tightly contested games like this?
Obviously, you want to put those pucks in the back of the net, right? It's a matter of just kind of getting to those areas and the willingness to put the puck in the net. But it matters a lot. Like they're all going to be close games in the playoffs now, right? So they're going to be one goal games, and it could come down to one moment or one situation that just unfortunately doesn't happen, but you can't dwell on it either. You have to move past it and look on to the next shift or the next period, because it's not going to change, right? It's in the past now, and all you can do is look forward and keep playing your game. And yeah.
In overtime, Kassel needed only 8 seconds to score the game winner. What happened in that sequence, and how frustrating is it to lose such an intense game so quickly in overtime?
Yeah, it was frustrating. It was a quick, right off the draw, I think Stretchy won it back a little bit, and then I think Shaner kind of tried to step up to grab the puck a little bit or something like that. And yeah, I think it just bounced. It took a funny bounce off one of our players, and then they ended up getting a 2-on-1 quickly right off the draw. So it's tough, especially when you win a draw and then it ends up coming back your way to get a goal against. It's always tough. So we didn't like to see it, but unfortunately that's how it happened and can't change it.
One more question. Is there a team you would like to face in the playoffs, or is there some team you hope to avoid?
I'm comfortable with whatever team kind of comes our way. I think our team is very professional about that, and I will take our team over any team that we play in the sixth spot. So whatever team comes our way, I'm very confident, and we just got to do our jobs, and there's no preference for anything like that.
You said the games against Kassel were like playoff games. What lessons would you take into potential playoff series against Kassel?
They're all just going to be fast. Every playoff game is going to be fast. It's going to be more physical. It's going to be more demanding on the body. It's going to be more mentally tough. You know, it's just going to have that extra edge every single game rather than the regular season. And I think that's what we kind of just have to take from those games against Kassel and prepare that way as well too. So we do our jobs and we prepare that well. And yeah, I like our chances.
Thanks for the first part. Let's go to the second period. And this is all about Jordan Taubert. We'll start with our 60 seconds, which means we'll begin sentences and you have to complete it. And we'll see how many answers we can fit into this 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
60 Sekunden. Präsentiert von Brechtl. Wo der Mensch zählt. Im Markt und im Team.
When I want to relax, I
watch golf.
My favorite vacation spot is
Mexico.
My dream job was
a pro golfer.
My childhood idol was
my grandpa.
Okay, the best player I've ever played with is
Cale Makar.
In the locker room, I sit next to
CJ Stretch.
We usually talk about
we talk about hockey.
On game day, I eat
bolognese.
Okay, before a game, I absolutely have to
play two touch with the boys.
After a game, I absolutely need
chocolate milk.
Dauert ein bisschen länger als 60 Sekunden, lohnt sich aber. Bewirb dich jetzt und werde ein Teil vom Brechtel-Team. Hier geht's mir gut.
Chocolate milk?
Yeah. After game, you don't chocolate milk, actually.
Okay.
I like a post-game chocolate milk, for sure.
Oh, great. I think our sponsor, Edeka Brechtel, should also have chocolate milk.
Yeah, before the game, the Bolognese, I think...
I think that's usually what we get most on our road trips.
And yeah, your golf experience. What's your handicap?
8.
Oh, great.
But yeah, I'd like to get down a little bit more this summer, but it's hard. It's hard with the training and everything. I usually try to get out 3 times a week. But yeah, I'll just go with my wife or a couple buddies and we'll go hit the sticks. And yeah, I really like to do it in the summer. I really enjoy it. So that's a big thing for me in the summertime. It's a crazy sport. Sometimes you want to just pick up your bag and just throw it into the next nearest pond.
And Cale Makar.
Yeah, we ended up playing together. We got drafted in the WHL together by the Medicine Hat Tigers. And then we both didn't go. We kind of went our own ways into junior, and he went his way into Brooks, and I went my way into Drayton Valley. But we played on the same spring team for a while when we were kids. And then yeah, so he was a great player. I think he's a lot better now than he was back when he was a kid. He kind of sprouted when he was in this junior and college era. So yeah, he's a great player. Anytime that there's an afternoon game, I like to sit down on the couch and watch some NHL games. Usually they're all at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. here, but we got an afternoon game and I have the afternoon off. I'll sit down on the couch and watch some players that I used to play with in the NHL and watch some North American hockey a little bit. And
on which side will you stand when Cale Makar plays against the Edmonton Oilers?
I'm still going Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, those are still Draisaitl, McDavid, like those are my guys. So I stand with the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, it was...
Every time an Oiler?
Oh, yeah. Every time an Oiler. Well, I grew up as an Oilers fan. My dad is a huge Oilers fan and so is my grandpa. So my dad actually, he redid his whole garage at his house. So everything is decked out in blue and orange Oilers all over. Has his Oilers bar in his garage. So yeah, so I've always been like a diehard Oilers fan. So it was tough to see them lose game sevens the past 2 years.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was devastating.
You have a German passport? Yeah. Because of your grandfather.
Yeah.
And you say it was your idol.
Yeah. Yeah. He was actually born in Tegensee, so not too far away from here.
Yeah.
He came over to Canada, though, when he was, I think, 4 years old. So, yeah, I think he's 74 now, so 70 years ago, came over to Canada. But yeah, I kind of lived with him a little bit when I was younger, just because my parents worked a lot and he took me in and he did everything for me. He would take me skating. He kind of taught me how to skate every day. He would be at the rink at my practices, never missed a practice, never missed a game. He was a diehard watching me play. He has a bunch of notebooks. He would write down my stats when I was a kid after every single game. So there's notebooks and notebooks of every single game I played, every single goal or assist or anything I've ever scored. He has it down. So growing up, he's definitely my idol and I looked up to him a lot and he showed me a lot too along the way. And yeah, I thank him a lot for it. And yeah, obviously he's German. And then I was able to kind of get my German pass off of his side of it.
Are there relatives there now?
No, I don't think so anymore. I think if there are, I don't think my grandpa still talks to them over here anymore anyways. So if I did know, I wouldn't know where they're stationed now here in Germany. But yeah, I've been to Tegensee now, I think, 3 or 4 times. So every time I kind of get some time or the day off, I've been over there and kind of checked it out and saw the lake. And that's absolutely a beautiful place down there. And yeah, it was really cool to just step into like a little town city
that your grandpa was born in. So it's really, really cool. It was a really special moment.
Yeah.
Your parents were here lately. Did they take a tour of Germany?
Yeah. So my dad and stepmom, they came first. They came around the November break-ish, kind of. And we kind of just toured around with them a little bit and took them to Innsbruck and Munich, Salzburg. So they got to see a little bit like that. And my parents are divorced. So my mom and stepdad just ended up coming down with my stepbrother. And they went on a big trip. They went all the way over to Switzerland, took the ferry. And they said they absolutely enjoyed it. It was my stepdad's first time over here in Europe. So we got to experience a lot. We ended up going down to saw one of the concentration camp Dachau. Yeah, we saw one of those and toured around there for a bit. We went to Munich. Yeah, and then they came to some away games. So they got to see about 5 games while I was here, and we got to do a lot of traveling a little bit too. So it was nice. It was unfortunate I got injured the last game I was there here. But they really enjoyed it. He really enjoyed it. He loved the culture. He loved everything about Germany. Yeah, so he can't wait to come back.
What they say about watching hockey here in Europe? I mean, it's quite different.
Yeah. The very first game was the home game. It was against Weißwasser, actually. We ended up losing the game. But I talked to him after the game up in VIP there, and he's never seen anything like that before. So he kind of had tears in his eyes, and it was pretty special because he's never seen me play a professional hockey game before either. So, and the fans to him were absolutely amazing. Like, they were very welcoming. He'd have his Topper jersey on too. So everyone would stop by and just shake his hand. And so he was very appreciative of the fans and the hockey and how it all kind of works here. And so it was pretty cool. It was a special moment for sure.
Do you have some typical German things on you?
I don't know. I don't. It's tough to say. I don't think so. I've always been raised like North American. So when I found out I was German and I able to get a little bit of the German passport and stuff like that, I've been studying it a little bit, but it's kind of tough to say.
Okay. Then go back to Canada. You were born in Medicine Hat. It's a town in Alberta. It's a little bit about the same size, like the population as in Rosenheim.
Yeah.
Are there any other similarities?
Not really at all. Medicine Hat is a gas town.
Yeah.
A lot of flat land, very hilly. It's more of an older crowd as well. It's a place where older folks would want to go and retire just because it's a little bit quieter. And they do call it, though, the sunniest city in Canada. It is very hot there. Very, very hot there. I think sometimes it gets to like 40 degrees. So yeah, it's a hot place. But yeah, no, other than that, it's nothing too, too special.
Okay.
Not anything like around here with the mountains and the lakes. There's no lakes down there, no mountains. Here in Rosenheim is absolutely beautiful. So it's not a big comparison for sure. There's one thing that they do have is the biggest teepee, I guess they call it, in the world. And you'll see a lot of tourists just go down there and take a bunch of pictures and stuff like that. I was actually, when I lived in Medicine Hat, I lived only a 4-minute drive or 5-minute bicycle away from the teepee. So I was really close all the time. So.
Also, Stabo's assistant coach Jamie Bartman is from Medicine Hat.
Yeah, I know. That was a big surprise too when I came here. The first call I got from Rosenheim actually was Jamie Bartman. And yeah, he just said, like, I'm from Medicine Hat. It's always a welcome honor to have someone else from your city come to your team. And like we were talking before, like, it's just such a small world, you know. So it's pretty cool.
But you didn't know each other before?
No, I didn't know who he was. My grandpa did say, though, I was talking to him before, and he said that he coached Jamie's brother, so he knew of the family. So that was pretty cool. So my grandpa knows the family, but I wasn't too familiar with them.
Your grandpa was a coach?
Yeah, he was a coach when he was younger. Yeah, he was a coach. Yeah, he coached... from, I think, Pee-wee all the way up to like midget hockey.
Okay.
In North America. Yeah. And then.
But he was not coaching you and your team.
No. He never ended up coaching me. No, he was done coaching by the time I came around. So,
would you have loved it if he was your coach?
Yeah, I mean, he's such an intelligent and smart guy. He knows a lot about the game. He still's teaching me to this day, right? I'll have phone calls with him and he'll still let me know what he thinks of the game and of my play. And yeah, it would have been a cool thing to have him coach, but kind of just coached me on the side. So it was still awesome.
Mm. Yeah. What was it like growing up there?
It was good. I had a lot of great family, and my whole family was there at the time. And then I had a lot of good hockey friends. I ended up playing hockey there until I was 15. And then I moved to Drayton Valley to play hockey from 16 on to whatever. But yeah, growing up in Medicine Hat, it was cool. There wasn't too much to do there other than ride. We would get mopeds when we were 14 years old because we were able to get our learners and drive them on the road. So we would have just a bunch of us hockey players and our little school gang kind of just riffing around the roads and on our mopeds. There'd be like 10 of us and we would just terrorize everyone. So it was all right. But yeah, Medicine Hat, it was a good place. It's a good place to grow up.
Try any other sports other than ice hockey and moped racing?
I did play soccer for 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually not too bad at it too. I was in like the summer games and we won a couple medals with the team and stuff like that. But it kind of interfered with hockey because I ended up doing hockey all year long at that age because I was playing in spring hockey tournaments as soon as the winter was done. So I kind of had to pick because they kind of collided. So I obviously went with hockey. But yeah, other than that, I only played soccer and I was a fast runner. Yeah, my defense kind of sucks. I get going on the forecheck, but my back check wasn't very good.
What are your earliest
memories?
My best ice hockey moments?
The earliest.
Oh, the earliest?
Was it the 4 year little John?
Yeah, I would say probably my grandpa and dad and would take me out to public skating every other day of the week. I would just be out there with them and they taught me how to skate. I would have that little pusher thing. And at the end of the skates, they would make me do 4 quick laps. And that's the only way I'd be able to get off the ice, even if I was crying and screaming. They'd say, no, Kate, you're doing 4 quick laps and then you can come off. So they were big skating me as a kid. But I mean, I loved it. I loved going out there with them and yeah, those were some of the best memories when I was young, when I first kind of remember learning how to skate and stuff like that with them.
You played for junior teams, including the AJHL. When did you first consider turning professional?
I think I wanted to go professional as soon as I had my 18-year-old year in junior. I mean, switching from midget hockey to junior hockey was a big difference. And my first 2 years, that's actually where I met my wife, was in Drayton Valley as well. So I met her there and I wasn't really thinking about hockey too much. I mean, I was drafted in the WHL and knew I was a good player and stuff like that, but I didn't really know how far I wanted to take it until I got traded to Drumheller from Drayton Valley. And then I put up some good seasons in Drumheller and I got offers to go Division I college hockey. And that just kind of didn't work out. So then I ended up playing college hockey in Canada, which was great. It was a lot of fun and it was a good experience too. And played against a couple of really good players and some really good guys. My cousin actually plays for Straubing Tigers and he's already been playing. He was in Bremerhaven when I was thinking about going pro and I kind of asked him, I was like, hey, like, how do you like Germany down there? And he said, like, I absolutely love it. He said it's the best time in his life that he's had. And he's just told me a bunch of good stories about it. And obviously our moms are actually twins and we're 3 months apart. So he was like, yeah, like, I'll talk to my agent for you. Like, I got my German pass because we have the same ancestry.
So then I reached out to his agent and we were kind of just talking to about coming down to Germany and we kind of went on the process with the passport and trying to get me over here, and everything kind of worked out the way it did, and I was in Lausitz last year and here this year, and I have nothing but good things to say about it. It's been a great 2 years of my life, and yeah, I absolutely love it.
Let's go back to the time go from Drayton Valley and then to the Drumheller Dragons. And in this time, your points totally increased significantly. What happened?
I think I just wasn't given much of an opportunity in Drayton Valley than I was getting in Drumheller. My whole role totally switched from Drayton to Drumheller.
Yep.
So I was, like I said, I was given a lot more opportunity. I was playing with better players, my minutes were going up, and then I was finally able to show kind of like the player that I am and the player I can be. So I think that was the biggest difference. And then once things kind of start going your way, you know, you have that swagger to you, you have that confidence a little bit, and yeah, I was just playing with that. Ended up being a good three seasons in Drumheller for me.
Well, you were assistant captain.
Yeah.
I think it's an honor to get this job.
Yeah, anytime you have a letter on your jersey, I think it's a huge honor, a huge privilege. I think it speaks a lot about you as a player, but a person as well. So it's a huge honor, and I was fortunate enough to carry that around.
Your next step was university. What did joining Grant McEwen mean to you?
Yeah, it was good. Is the previous 3 years before I joined them, they've won three championships in a row. So it was a winning culture. It was a winning team. The first year I got there, it was awesome, but it obviously got cut short because of COVID. So then we were in playoffs and we won first round. We're going on to the second round. I think we had a good chance to win a championship again. But yeah, like I said, COVID came in and kind of screwed that up for us. So it was tough. And then I actually didn't play hockey for a full year after that, because you couldn't do anything where in Edmonton. There was no hockey going on, no leagues going on. So it was tough. But yeah, going back to your question, McEwen, it was a great honor. I was happy to sign there. They had a great coaching staff that I knew. They gave me a great role, good opportunity, and I have nothing but good things to say about that organization as well.
How was university life for you?
Yeah, it was really crazy. We had our practices the first year after school. So you would go to school in the morning, do your classwork, and then you would go to your practices in the afternoon. And then after practices, sometimes the guys would go for beers just because it's like university and there's university parties going on sometimes too, right? So it was hectic. And then with the road trips and the traveling and the flying with university, it was pretty tough to do your school. It's not what you're always thinking about. But yeah, we all managed to get it done and help each other. And university was an awesome time. You make a lot of great friends along the way and friends you'll have for a lifetime because you're with them for 4 years, right? No one can go really anywhere else. You're redshirted for a year. So you're kind of stuck with that same group for the 4 years. So yeah, like I said, you make a lot of great friends, a lot of great memories. Yeah, university was a blast. I loved it.
Maybe early with the COVID year, the group was getting more intense, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the COVID year, you couldn't do anything, right? So we really didn't see each other like that much.
You were at home or were you staying at the university?
No, well, because I lived in Edmonton at times. So I lived where I was playing university. So we were isolated for a good part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, it sucked. The group wasn't together. So we all kind of lived on our own and had our own places and stuff like that around campus. So yeah, we weren't all kind of isolated together. We actually, the COVID year, we ended up skating just a handful of times, but we would have to have our masks on the ice. So it was just super weird. It was, yeah.
Your coach, Zach Daly, said it's about 2 years ago. That's something I think he did a great job of developing over his time there here. When he came to us, he was quite a prolific scorer from the AJHL. So our challenge for him was rounding out his game. By the end of his career, he was someone who was trusted in the D zone late in games. It says a lot to his work ethic and character.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And
he helped me kind of round out my game and gave me a role to which to play on defensively, and would throw me out there on the PK and kind of just teach me and show me what it's like to play defensively sound, and he helped me develop kind of that part of my game a little bit. Still try to work on in this day, like nobody's perfect, right? So like there's always something that you can work on. And but yeah, no, he was a great coach and gave me a lot of great lessons. And yeah,
how has your game changed now in the 2 years in Germany?
I think you have to make reads here with the big open ice here, rather than in North America. It's obviously faster. Guys are adults, right? They're some play against 35. You know what I mean? Like there's all sorts of ages and big bodies in the league. So it was obviously an adjustment, but I think my vision and my speed is just kind of the biggest thing I've changed, I think, from college to the pro level. Just kind of making those reads and not playing catch up with the game, kind of letting the game come to you with the big ice and stuff. So I think that's the biggest thing I've taken away from college and pro so far.
When you decided to play in Germany, how did you decide to join Weißwasser in the summer of 24?
It was with my agent. I was talking to him, obviously, and we were kind of just seeing on what team would want me to come down and would help me with my German passport. So they were the only team really that would do the German pass for me. So I kind of had just one option and it ended up landing in our Weißwasser, I guess. So that's kind of how I came to terms with that. I think the first game we played Rosenheim, it was here in Rosenheim. Weißwasser ended up winning. I think it was a close game. Yeah. I think Goose actually scored the game winning goal. But yeah, no, I loved it. I loved the rink. I was very new to Germany too, right? So I thought the rink now, what they've done with it is absolutely beautiful. It's definitely like way different than last year already with the seats and everything too. But yeah, I thought just the style of play was hard to play against. They're a hard team to beat all year.
Did you have to think about it for long when you got the offer from Rosenheim?
No, I mean, once I talked to Yari and once I talked to Jamie, like they were welcoming. They told me everything they wanted from me, everything I wanted to know, and I think it was an easy decision for me. They were a very good group of guys and great coaches, so.
Or did you choose Rosenheim because it's near to Tegernsee?
Yeah, that's the only reason I wanted to go see where Grappa lives, get a little bit closer.
What do you particularly like about Rosenheim, apart from the rink and the ice hockey?
I like the landscape. I like the mountains. I'm kind of a little bit outdoorsy. The lakes. We have a lake lock back home that we go to a lot. So that was a huge part when it's nice out in the summer. We would just hop in the water all the time, right? So it's a lot. There's a lot of water around here. The mountains, obviously, like I said. Yeah, I think it's just a beautiful place.
Do you have a favorite spot in Rosenheim or around Rosenheim?
That place that gives us 50% off, Amici.
It's pretty good.
You recently extended your contract, and of course, your family, in this case, your wife, plays a role in that. How does Brienne like Rosenheim?
She likes it a lot better than last year, that's for sure. It was a lot of kind of sitting in our apartment last year because there's not too much to do around the Weißwasser, right? So yeah, we actually live in Kolbermoor, so we still have a little bit to do around there. And everything is just so close. If you want to go somewhere, everything's like a half hour, 45 minutes away. She's developed a really good relationship with a lot of the girls on the team too. So that was a huge part of it too, is the girls making her feel so welcome. And then obviously Yari and the coaching staff making her feel so welcome as well. And yeah, just having a nice place to live, and it makes it so much easier for her and her happiness. And and then it makes me happy too, and helps my game out as well, right? So it's really good. She loves it.
Yeah, you got married a year ago, but you know each other for longer.
Yeah, so like I said, we met when I was 16, in Drayton Valley, my very first year junior. We were in grade 11, and then she's been with me throughout the whole junior ride, the whole college ride, and then the 2 years of pro. Now she came over last year, stayed the whole year, and then this year obviously stayed the whole year. So yeah, we been together for 11 years, and we just got married last summer. Yeah, just right after college was done, and we were done our college degrees. We kind of just thought it was probably time to get hitched, and yeah, no, she's been awesome. She's been my rock. So
there are so many pictures of you and Brienne at in the internet at your wedding site. Jordan Taugert still had hair. What happened?
Yeah, I did. I'm gonna say it was 4 years ago that I ended up shaving my head. Yeah, I guess just bad genetics. There wasn't really much I could do. Actually, the very first day I did it, I was on the boat with my wife, and I was surfing, like wake surfing behind the boat. So I was surfing, and then so she would take a video of me. And then I got on the boat. I was like, okay, yeah, let me see the video. And she shows me, and I was like, my God, like that's what my hair looks like. And she's like, yeah, hon, yeah, like that's what it looks like. I was like, okay, like it's over. Like, let's just go shave it off. So she was actually the first one to shave my head for me too. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, now I'm just, stuck with the bald, but I don't mind it. I enjoy it. So it's easy to maintain now.
I had hair too in the 90s.
Okay. Thank you for telling us so much personal things.
Yeah.
That was our second period. And now let's go to the third period.
Change a little bit in German. Die Star Bulls gehen ins letzte Wochenende des Grunddurchgangs. Am Freitag steht das Derby gegen Landshut auf dem Plan. Gespielt wird ab 19:30 in Niederbayern. Am Sonntag gibt es dann das Heimspiel um 17 Uhr gegen die Blue Devils Weiden. Alles zu den Spielen gibt es bei den OVB Heimatzeitungen und auf allen sozialen Kanälen von OVB Media.
So now, two games remain before the playoffs begin. One of them is the Derby. At Landshut, how have you felt about these games against Landshut so far?
They're a good team. I mean, they've maybe let off the gas a little bit lately here, dropped a few points. But our games against them are always, they've always been fun with the crowds and the fans and the tension of the players and the physicality. But I think we've got the better of them as of last. So yeah, no, they're fun games, and they're fun games to be a part of. I knew last year, obviously, Vice Foster and Krimichow were Derby, and then we also had Dresden as well, but they moved up. But so I kind of just asked, like, who's the Derby games here in Rosenheim? And yeah, Stretchy was the one that told me it's Landshut are the big ones. So,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a similar Derby for you in Canada?
I would say, like, when I was playing college, mm-hmm. I would say the U of A, the University of Alberta, because McEwen was on the opposite. So the river kind of split the two universities in half. So that was the biggest battle rivalry game, kind of derby games in Canada we would play. So everyone's from Edmonton, right? So we would have our half the McEwen fans and then half the U of A fans, and they'd be building the big beer towers and stuff like that. And yeah, that was the big derby games in college.
The final game on Sunday is then against home, is home against Weiden.
Yeah.
What do games in front of your own fans mean to you?
They mean a lot. They come every single home game, obviously, to support us and cheer for us. And we want to give them, obviously, something back. And that's a win at home. That's our main priority, is doing it for not only us, but also for the fans and all of them as well. Like, they put so much into us. So we try to reciprocate it back and give them a lot as well. So, I mean, the game on Sunday, just closing the regular season off with the win at home would be not only special to us, but I think special to the fans as well.
Is it a goal for the team to reach the 100 points, or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, we haven't really talked about reaching 100 points, but I think, obviously, I think that would be something that would be like really cool. I think obviously every one of us is, if we ended up reaching 100, but it would be nice.
How playoff ready are the Starbulls?
I think we're playoff ready. I think we've done a good job with the pieces that we've put together and the systems that we've put together, our work ethic that we've put together, not only on the ice, but in the gym, and readiness and preparedness and everything like that. We've done a lot this past or 6 months it's been or something like that. So we put in a lot of work just to get ready for the playoffs and what's coming up. So I think our group is ready for it.
What do you think? What's going particularly well and what needs improvement before starting into the playoffs?
What's going well is I think our togetherness is going very well. I think we understand how to talk to each other and play with each other and kind of communicate to each other, read off each other. I think our togetherness has been very good, very close. We're a very close-knit group. So obviously it's been all right of late, but I think in big playoff games, I think special teams determine a lot of playoff games. Like I said, they're all going to be close to one goal games. Sometimes it could just be that penalty kill that can get us past a game or our power play that scores one that gets us past. So our special teams have to be a huge factor in the playoffs leading up to it. So
your first opponent could be the Lausitzer Füchse.
Yeah, I saw that after the Castle game here. I think I've been looking. It's a tight with Regensburg, Lausitzer, and I don't know who else. But yeah, I know they could potentially be. And you know what it is, I think we're ready for any team. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
That's it.
Awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no, thank you guys very much.
You had fun?
Yeah, for sure I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also, das war hart gecheckt, Ausgabe Nummer 96. Vielen Dank euch fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns beim nächsten Mal wieder oder sehen uns live im Stadion. Dankeschön, Servus.
Ciao.
Podcast schon vorbei? Dann gleich noch was einkaufen. Hart gecheckt wurde präsentiert von Brechtl Bad Aibling, Brandenburg, Raubling und Bad Fallenbach. Bis zum nächsten Einkauf. Und zum nächsten Podcast.